Have you ever stood at the crossroads of a dream, heart racing, heart pumping with potential, and yet found yourself just completely frozen, just unable to choose a path? Well, mama, welcome to a journey through the heart of decision making and the life of a mompreneur. That exact feeling that you felt, that you maybe are feeling right now, I have felt too, and I've helped many mompreneurs overcome that hump. Today, we're going to delve into the world of, I'm doing air quotes, analysis paralysis, exploring the biblical wisdom and practical strategies that can illuminate your path forward. So buckle up, join me as we unlock the secrets to moving beyond indecision. Okay, we're going to be inspired by the decisive actions of biblical figures and heroes like Deborah and the Proverbs 31 woman, so that you can embrace the calling God has placed on your life. Yes, beyond motherhood. Here we go, mama. Let's dive in and let's get you going.
The Energized Mama Podcast, a place where we explore together how to raise those littles to know the Lord while growing in your own intimacy with Jesus, learning how to keep your energy while handling the inevitable stress, and rediscovering yourself outside of motherhood. It is possible. Let's do it together.
Mommy.
Mama, Mama.
Sometimes I have people ask me, you know, Cheyenne, when did you know that you wanted to be an entrepreneur? And to be honest, I don't ever know when to or how to answer them, because the when is very interesting. It kind of feels like an always kind of a thing. You know, some of my background is I am the daughter of two entrepreneurs, although they both have also fallen into the 9-to-5, you know, sorry, lack of a better word, trap. I'm a little biased there, but throughout their lives. But when I was a kid, my dad owned his own lawn and garden service, and my mom was a Mary Kay beauty consultant. And crazy enough, she still is that way today. So being an entrepreneur, being self-employed, having your own business is very familiar to me. So when I went and did what I think the typical American kid thinks they have to do, I went to a very expensive college, got a 4-year bachelor's degree, and then I chose not to use it, of course, because why would you, you know, which arguably, okay, I did get a communication bachelor's degree, so arguably I'm actually using it right now, just because you are listening to me in your headphones right now. But you know, I knew that I didn't want to go work for a 9-to-5. I have had little experiences working for big companies, actually some of the biggest companies in the world, like Disney, 24-hour fitness, Radio Disney. I've worked for some big companies, and even in those seasons when I had more of a 9-to-5 schedule, I just knew that that wasn't for me. There was just something about getting up and going to work every single day in the same building, working for someone else who sets my hours, who sets my pay, who sets my creativity and tells me like what I'm supposed to be working on and during what time and all of that. It just felt stifling. And I know some people who thrive in those situations. You know, many people in my family, many moms I know, they love it. They love that expectation. My entrepreneurial mom, at one point, she went to go work for Disney for 10 years, and she loved that she had the expectation of when to show up to work, when she was going to go home, and she could count on a paycheck. Now, as an entrepreneur, those things are not there. However, we have many other things that are there, right? There's many other opportunities that present itself when you become an entrepreneur. But there's also some things that as an entrepreneur, as a mompreneur, especially when you are a woman raising littles, raising children in your home at the same time you want to build a business, that do plague you that wouldn't happen in a workplace, right? And one of those things is maybe why you clicked on this episode right now, is known as analysis paralysis, right? Sometimes we can get so paralyzed because there are so many decisions to make when you own your own business. Now, I honestly have totally so been there, okay? I so get it. And if I'm not careful, I'm just a few decisions or a few mindsets or a few thoughts away from getting back here, because there is so much to think about, right? So, I mean, there's the thought, the first one is what to do. How do I choose? How do I choose what to do with my business? You know, maybe you're like me, you're so multi-passionate. You can imagine yourself, you know, maybe being an online coach or maybe creating creating jewelry or painting and selling those things online. Or maybe you want to create digital products because, hey, you like that idea of passive income. Oh, wait, maybe I could sell things on Amazon. Why don't I try to do that? Or what about these multi-level marketing companies? I like that I could sell someone else's product and help people grow in their health. And there's just so much, right? There's so much out there. And then let's just not even think about talk about the what to do, but what about when to do it, right? Because as moms, whether you're already currently working outside the home or if you're in the home, it's like you've got, you know, household chores to keep up with, your kids' school schedules, meal prepping. And then when you have this little bit of a fraction of the time to yourself, do you want to spend it on a business? Are you taking time away from your kids? Do you want to be sitting on your phone working on your business when you have your kids in the room? And then if you can find the time or make the time to do it, what about the where, right? Like where in your house even? Do you even have space for a designated office space? Or how about like where online? Where do you actually go do it? Do you advertise or work your business on Instagram? Or what about TikTok? Or this friend said YouTube? Or, ooh, I've heard LinkedIn is on the rise. Or I find I'm most of the time on Facebook. Is that where I'm supposed to build it? Whoa, is anyone overwhelmed yet? Right? It's like, no wonder we get paralyzed sometimes because there are so many things to think about. And perhaps one of the biggest questions that keep coming back in our mind that maybe plagues us the most as mompreneurs is, what if I fail? What if I spend all this precious time taking away time from my kids, from my family, and my business fails? What if I invest this money, this time, right? This money that I've saved up or that my husband has put aside for our family or for savings, what if I invest it in a business and it fails? Now, Mama, all of these concerns are valid. Every single thing I just talked about is totally valid. However, all of these questions, all of these thoughts, they totally take away the faith component because nothing that I said in the past 2 minutes has been rooted in faith. It's all been rooted in fear. So in learning how to get over analysis paralysis, let's start there. As I like to start any of my episodes, I always like to go back to what does scripture say? Okay, what does scripture say about fear? Well, number one, it clearly defines that fear is a liar, right? And number two, it says that fear is not of God. So just with those two things, if you can take a moment to, you know, compartmentalize all these thoughts that you have about starting a business, and any time that you feel fear seeping in, right? When you have that fear of not having enough time, not having enough energy, not having enough here, remember that it's a liar. Your fear is always going to take the truth and it's going to distort it. And also remember that more than likely, you have this desire. You clicked on this episode because you have the desire. You're curious about being a mompreneur. Can I just tell you, and you probably already know this, not every mom has that desire. Again, going back to the beginning of the episode, right? There are some women that feel totally comfortable and content working a 9-to-5. They love it. They thrive in it. I have some friends, some dear friends of mine that work multiple different, you know, different industries. You know, I've got my teacher friends. I have friends who work in pharmaceuticals. I have friends who work as lawyers, you know, and that is great. And they feel more called and led to that. But if you're on this, if you're listening to this episode, there's a reason that you feel called to the entrepreneurial life. And I would argue that that is God, that there's a reason why you're not settled. There's a reason why you have all these thoughts and all these plans and desires that you want to see come to fruition. So when you have fear of going against that, remember that that's not of God. Your passions, your desires, those are from God. He put those in you. He's been nurturing those in you since you were a little girl. But the fear that's telling you that they're not worthy, that they're stupid ideas, that they'll never amount to anything, that you know this mom that tried to do this and she failed, that is not of God. So now that we can just call out fear and see it plain as day and say, okay, I'm feeling this fear. Now, what do you do with that, right? Because you still have all of these things that are paralyzing you, right? So What I will encourage you to do is do as it says in James 2:17, which reminds us that faith without deeds is dead, right? So now that you've eradicated fear, we're like, okay, we're going to move forward in faith. Well, we got to do that move forward part, right? I want you to be encouraged to know that you can put your faith into action as you step into entrepreneurship. So today, I'm actually going to give you three practical steps in how to do this and actually how to make this possible in your life. But before we get there, I want to just really encourage you and rev you up to show that this is nothing new, that this is something that God has been infusing his women with for thousands and thousands of years. Let's just go back to Deborah. So Deborah was a judge. You can find her story in Judges 4-5, right? And in those chapters, the Bible showcases her as a prophetess and also a leader of Israel. I mean, this was during a time where, you know, women were not regarded. Like, women were treated so differently than they were today. And yet she found herself in this position of leadership. And she made a bold decision that I promise you took a lot of faith to lead her people into battle against their oppressors, basically against their enemies. And that showed a lot of faith and courage. Her decision to even do that, her decisive action that she chose to move in, showed that she had trust in God's guidance and that she knew, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but God knows how to do this, and I'm going to move forward in faith and trust that he's going to guide me all the way through. And how about, let's not just stop at Deborah. Let's go to, of course, the Proverbs 31 woman, right? Many people out there, right? Many moms out there want to be the Proverbs 31 woman. Well, why? Like, what does that even mean, right? Have you ever realized when you look at that scripture how much the Proverbs 31 embodies the entrepreneurial spirit? I'll prove it to you. She manages her household and her business affairs, right? It's time, work, balance, life, work, balance, right in the scriptures. And she does it with wisdom and strength. She makes informed decisions. She works diligently. She invests her earnings wisely. She illustrates that balance that we all want of work and family life and faith. So I want you to be inspired. I want you to be encouraged to take action that just shows that there are so many women that have gone before you, especially these pioneers of our faith, that God helped them so he can most certainly help you. And it's going to take, though, you. It's going to take you to take action. God's going to do his part, but then he expects us in all things, but even in our business, to take and do our part and to take action in our ventures. And just be reminded that faith and courage is going to be what you need that can take you and lead you to the impactful decisions and to success that's waiting for you on the other side of faith. If you do want to go deeper into these women's stories, again, just make sure you go read Judges 4-5 and Proverbs 31. So with analysis paralysis, this really can affect anyone and everyone, right? I mean, I have even seen my kids go through some of this. You know, my husband and I are raising his teenage daughter. She's 15, and you can tell just as she gets older and now she's faced with the decisions of like what classes to take, where to work, what colleges is she interested in. She can just also become so overwhelmed with all of the decisions that she has to make that she just almost doesn't want to make any. My husband actually struggles with this too. And we own a business together. We've owned several businesses together. And he sometimes has all these amazing ideas, but then when it comes to implementing them, he just kind of turns into that ostrich with his head in the sand and I don't want to do it. What do I got to do? So again, all of these decisions easily lead to analysis paralysis because you start analyzing them or there's just too many of them, so you get paralyzed. So that's why today I want to help you with these three very just actionable things that you can do, very practical things that ultimately are going to help you break down your decisions that you have to make when it comes to your business so that you can move forward. So number one, right? So your goals that you have in your business. First of all, if you don't have any goals or if you don't have them written down, you should do that. And again, start with just the small, the small ones and the big long-term ones. You can write that down too, but start with your smaller business goals. So it can be something as simple as like creating a website, starting my blog, right? Starting a podcast, right? All those things are, you know, they're kind of what I like to say is like medium goals, because say starting a podcast, well, your big long-term goal is probably to have that podcast maybe reach a certain amount of downloads, certain amount of audience, monetize my podcast. But then the small goal should be actually breaking down the medium goal, which is starting a podcast. So the small goal should be just making little steps from that medium goal. So something like, you know, just creating my podcast name, creating my podcast art, who's my audience that I want to talk to, what podcast platform am I going to upload my podcast to, right? So what am I doing here? From creating my the one goal that I was talking about, right? So starting a podcast, which may seem to some people overwhelming and so many decisions to make, is what I did was I broke down what is that goal, not focusing on the downloads yet, not focusing on the audience, not focusing on how many episodes do I gotta do a month. No. Those are more longer term goals. First, start with the one thing that you need to do, and then break down that goal into smaller little goals and break them into actionable steps. And I emphasize actionable, okay? Because you want it to be something that's not hypothetical. You want it to be something that you're actually doing, right? So the word actionable actually means able to be done or acted on. So don't choose hypothetical goals at this point, because that's going to set you back. You want actual practical things you can work on and start moving forward. So once you break down the goals into actionable steps, then you can start putting, you know, it into an action plan. And so what I do is I usually create a month type of an action plan. Like, these are goals that I have for this month. And then I start breaking down those goals. Well, what do I need to do to make this happen? Right? So say I have a goal of prepping for a launch of my new course that's coming out, wink, wink, giving you a little prelude of what's coming. So that's the big goal. But then what are the little things I need to do to lead up to that to make it happen, right? Say I need to record the course. I need to create a PowerPoint to record. I need to set up weekly emails to let people know that this course is coming, make social media posts, right? So then I have all of those written out. Then I can start putting them into a weekly action plan. So I don't feel like I have to do it all at once. So it's less overwhelming. I've got all these little things that I can do. I've basically made specific achievable tasks. See how I've set myself up for success? Because instead of looking at the big overarching goal, I started breaking down, well, what to get to that big overarching goal do I need to do? The beauty is that I can look at these 10 or 20 steps and I don't have to think, oh, I got to do all these at once. No. Then I start grouping them and seeing which ones need to happen first, put them in the order. And then giving you right here, I'm going to use this example to go into practical step number two. Practical step number two is to set clear deadlines for each step so that basically it can provide you structure, but also momentum, right? Because there's nothing worse than having these goals or having these ideas for your business and just not having any structure for them, right? Because without the structure, you're going to have nothing to build upon and you won't end up having anything done. And I love the word momentum. Like, it is so fun. It's something I used a lot when I was a group exercise trainer, especially when people would get frustrated when it came to not hitting their weight loss or their strength goals. And momentum is like motion. Basically, is that's what momentum is. It's like once you get something in motion, it just keeps going and building. Actually, if you ever think of like a snowball effect, right? A snowball rolling down a hill. Once it gets going, it's just going to get bigger and bigger. And people often use that example in a negative sense, but I like to say it can be such a positive thing too, that once you get things going, it often will build on itself. too, right? But that's why analysis paralysis is such a death sentence for God-driven callings and businesses, because we get so afraid that we don't even start. And then there's no snowball, there's no momentum, and then nothing ends up getting done. So again, that's why we want to set clear deadlines. And one struggle with being an entrepreneur is that you got to set your own deadlines, right? No one's out there telling you you need to get this done by this date. So you need to do that yourself. Or tip number three, here we go, is get involved in a supportive community and have them give you deadlines or have them give you accountability dates, right? So I'm currently in this mompreneur group that I created, and there's five of us, and we all work in different aspects of, you know, different businesses. We have like two coaches, one's a dietitian. We have one of our girls does art. She's an artist, so she sells art. And so we have people from, you know, women from different walks of life and different businesses, but we keep each other accountable. We keep each other motivated, and we give feedback on things. You know, sometimes we're like throwing in the group chat, like, hey guys, what do you think about this freebie idea I have? How is this communicating? Hey, would anyone jump on a call and do some market research with me? Or can I pitch you my offer idea so you can let me know how it's landing with you? Would you be a podcast episode guest? All these things. It's just so wonderful to be around other people. Like, you know, when it's like when you get around other Christians, for lack of a better word, it's like you can almost speak Christianese. It's just different when you get around like-minded people, right? And a spirit, especially spirit-led people, that you feel like I can just be raw and open and real, and people get it. You know, they're being guided by the Holy Spirit as well, and He guides our conversations, and I can just speak my truth and speak, meaning like what's happening in my life, meaning, and I know these women are going to pray for me. They're going to encourage me in the Word of God. Well, that's exactly what is so important as your walk as an entrepreneur, as a Christian entrepreneur, especially. So I just want you to know that if you do not have that, if you do not have this strong group of women that are encouraging you, that I've got you. I am just opening up a brand new endeavor in my business, but I am offering Voxer groups that now are going to be coming together for accountability, daily support, and actionable steps of like-minded Christian women just like you. Other moms who are trying to figure out, how do I get around this analysis paralysis? How do I get over, you know, feeling like I'm an imposter syndrome, right? And how do I do this? Well, the answer is community. You need to be around other women that speak the same language as you. You need to be around other women that may not have supportive husbands, but they have supportive girlfriends that say, hey, I'm here for you. I'm not going to let you fail. You're not going to give up this time. If you need that, go to the show notes, and I have a link in there for the waitlist for my Voxer groups. I'm going to be opening them up at the end of April and May, and they are going to be such a blessing, as I feel the Holy Spirit has been leading me in this direction. He's taught me so much in my current group that I want to spread out to other mompreneurs, because we're not meant to do life alone. We're not meant to grow as a mom alone. We're not meant to grow our business alone. We need community. Even Jesus needed community. You look at his ministry here on this earth, it was only 3 years, but his disciples were there for him. They were there for him to keep him going in his ministry, to help keep him focused on the Father. And that's what these Voxer groups are going to be. They're going to be here for you, to encourage you, to love you, and to keep you focused on the Father and his vision for you and your family and your business. So, mamas, I'm just so proud of you for dedicating this time to listening to me today, and to listening to that God-given vision that's on your heart. Please don't run from it. Know that you have it for a reason. I just want to encourage you to take action today, whether it's sending this episode to another mom, whether it's writing me a review on Apple Podcasts and letting me know what touched you about this episode, what really drove this point home, which one of these steps are you going to actually right away today practically start doing? Or if it's going on that wait list and signing up and saying, yes, I am choosing me, I'm going to do this, I am moving forward, whatever it is, Choose action over perfection today. You don't have to be perfect. Arguably, you're going to be perfectly imperfect at moving forward as a mom, as a woman, and also in your business. So just remember that there's such value in learning through doing. It's that action of doing. And as I end this podcast today, I want to encourage you with one of my favorite scriptures. I know you've probably heard it, but let's just surrender today and hear it in a new way. It's your call to trust. It's your call to trust in God's guidance. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, right? Listen to the order of this scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Remember, mamas, God's wisdom will guide you in your decisions once you step out in faith, and just know that he is going to be with you and guide you every step of the way. He's here for you, I'm here for you, and I'm so blessed to have been here with you on another episode of the Energized Mama Podcast. I'll see you guys again very soon.